I'm very happy to be here to be able to talk about and present the Baltimore City Health Department's virtual supermarket program. I also have our intern who's worked on this program too, Leah Hart, with us here in the front. So really happy she's able to be with us as well. And I have no relationships to disclose. So the Baltimore City's virtual supermarket program is a program that basically uses the already existing technology of online food ordering that has been around for many years now, but it applies it in a low-income population. And so over these next 15 minutes or so, I'm going to kind of discuss how online grocery ordering can be used as a food desert elimination strategy. The evolution of our virtual supermarket program, our program designs and implementation, as well as some of our evaluation results. So how does this type of program work? So I'll go in a minute and talk about the evolution of the program, but how it works is you can go online from any computer and put in your grocery order in online. And then we have a bulk delivery of groceries inside a community area. Right now we have libraries, senior buildings, an elementary school, as well as public housing. And then everyone pays when they pick up their groceries. The City Health Department has partnered with Santoni's Supermarket, which is a local independent grocery store in Baltimore City. Now, there are a variety of reasons that we needed to partner with an independent local grocer. First, the Health Department pays a reduced delivery fee for the groceries. So the Baltimore residents don't pay any delivery fee. And we do this on purpose because we see this as a true health equity program. So we are trying to provide equal access to healthy and affordable food at supermarket prices. So the residents in Baltimore, they can order whatever they want, except tobacco products. We are the health department, so they're not allowed to do that with the program. But other than that, they can order anything they want. And it's just there so that they don't have to travel as far to get grocery store quality and priced food. So the health department needed to work with the grocer to pay them a reduced delivery fee. Secondly, we needed a grocery store that already had an online interface set up and ready to go. So not all of our grocery stores in Baltimore had this, but Santoni's did. Lastly, we needed to waive that minimum. I know if any of you have ordered online, there's about usually a $60 minimum for online ordering. But when you're working with a low-income population, that's a really high minimum for customers. So we needed to basically waive that. And we asked for our customers to give us a $25 minimum. That makes it a little bit more worth it for the grocer. And last and most important and most relevant for probably all of you has to do with food stamps. So there is a USDA policy regulation that states that you must swipe your EBT, your electronic benefit transfer card, which is what your food stamps are on, at point of receiving the food. So you can't put it in online ahead of time, you can't call it in, you can't fax in the number. It has to be swiped when people receive the food. Now, in talking to some other grocers, they basically said, you know what, we're not really willing to take the chance of not getting paid ahead of time. You know, that's not in our, you know, financial plan. We like to get paid ahead of time, that way if people don't pick up, they're already paid. Additionally, we also needed to be able to take cash. Because in a low-income population, a lot of the money for food is either with food stamps or cash. And so Santoni's was really willing to work with us to be able to meet all of these demands and criteria. And so they became our primary grocer and are still the only grocer we work with. And we have, I'll go into some of our nutrition information, but we also always provide the weekly sales papers at all of our sites because all of our residents are primarily all low-income residents living in Baltimore neighborhoods, and so the price of the food plays a very large role in how much food that they're getting, what time of the month it is, and what they're going to be purchasing. So really what this program is trying to do is just to increase the access to healthy and affordable food. We want to improve the health and wellness of Baltimore City residents, but our main focus really initially is just to increase that access. And, you know, we're really trying to show here that online grocery delivery is a viable solution to food desert elimination. You know, we heard a wonderful presentation by Ms. Smith about, you know, putting and building new grocery stores in cities. But a lot of us know that's a lot of money. It costs millions of dollars to bring in and put a new grocery store in a community. And a program like this really doesn't cost actually very much money. And where it takes many years and many times to bring a new grocery store in, this is something that a lot of communities can do now, in the immediate intermediate until maybe a new grocery store comes in, or there might not be a need then for new grocery stores to come in. You know, this is a true public-private partnership between the Baltimore City Health Department and Santoni's Supermarket. We're also trying to show all of you out there how you can still do online ordering and accept EBT. So let me just spend the next minute or two going through the evolution of the program. So the program started in March of 2010, and at that time we had two library sites kind of centrally located within neighborhoods, and that was key for us to be in centrally located neighborhoods in food desert communities. But at that time, we only had ordering sessions for 2 hours window blocks and then a 1 hour delivery window. And that was very limiting in terms of who can use the program, how many people were using it. But then in January of that year, we added an additional library in another food desert neighborhood as well as an elementary school. A few months later, we in April and May, we worked with Santoni's Supermarket, who uses MyWebGrocer, who's the largest online host server for grocers, and they were able to establish promotion codes so that any of our customers could really order from any computer and they would know that this is part of the virtual supermarket program and that it needs to be delivered to this library at this time, as well as we hired a full-time community health organizer, which has really been key in bringing the community together around these issues of food access. And then in June of that year, we started our Neighborhood Food Advocates Initiative, and they really are community members who are working together to increase the access in their own community. So instead of us, the health department, saying, we think you should have this here, we're working with them so that they kind of drive that forward. And then, you know, we had been at the libraries for about a year and a half, and something just wasn't quite working. And I'm the first to admit that. You know, I run this program, and it's, I think in public health, we don't always admit when things don't really work. And our library sites, we just weren't getting enough people. We were getting 5 orders, you know, a week. And in terms of in the whole neighborhood who needs access to food, that's just not enough. And so we decided we need to figure out a new strategy for this program. And so we decided it's not very hard, actually, to train someone to help their fellow neighbors run a virtual supermarket. So we opened in 2 senior buildings with our new community-based model. And so what that means is the health department provides technical assistance within these communities. So we train residents who live there how to run the virtual supermarket. And this is a fully grant-funded program. And again, in public health, we know that grant funds sometimes dry up and you can't always rely on them forever. And so how can we make this program sustainable? How can we make this ingrained within the community? And so now that the community runs it, it truly is ingrained within the community. And then this last August, but really at the beginning of September, we opened in 2 public housing developments in Baltimore City. And so not only now are we targeting our seniors who are vulnerable populations, but our lowest income families in Baltimore City. So we have specific site selection criteria, and it's somewhat based off Baltimore City. We're very lucky to have the Johns Hopkins Center for a Livable Future, and they developed a food desert map. And their food desert map criteria is a 1/4 mile to the nearest supermarket, below 185% of the poverty line, low vehicle ownership, as well as they did a quality index of the grocery stores, because as we know, in many urban areas, not all grocery stores are created equal. So you might live in a neighborhood that has a grocery store, but you might not still be able to find healthy foods in that grocery store. So that played a role into the criteria here. For our program, we make it a little more generous, and so we have a 1/2 mile to a nearest supermarket for our sites, but we really use, you know, our food deserts, household income, poverty, and we look at health outcomes, you know, the rates of diabetes and obesity in these communities, as well as community interest. We feel very strongly that we don't just want to bring this program to a community because we think this is a great program. We want to bring this to a community because they think that their community would really want to have this program. But we also know in public health, just providing access doesn't mean we're going to improve nutrition and health outcomes. And so at all of our library sites that we've had, we have food demonstrations on site. They're generally very basic because we're limited by cooking in the library, but the library allows us to have food in there. And a lot of times it's one item food modification. We try and do things that are on sale. So we'll do apples. We've been doing a lot of apples now that it's fall in Maryland and they're 99 cents a pound, you know, and so trying to get different varieties to expose residents to foods maybe that they don't normally buy. We give out recipe cards, and we give $10 off every first and then every fourth order after for healthy food ordering. And that's really, it's based off the WIC guidelines to help people try new healthy foods. You know, I once had a woman, I helped her place her order. She had two kids at home. She bought $80 worth of groceries and then said, oh, now I can get some fruits and vegetables. It's my $10 off week. So she wasn't used to buying these foods for her family. And now that she had this extra $10 off, it was a way for her to do that. As well as all of our new sites, our senior buildings and public housing, we work to bring in comprehensive nutrition education programs that are already in existence into these sites. So this is a subset of our population who uses the program. As you see, it's primarily women who use the program, primarily Black or African American, and pretty much all low income. Everyone who uses the program makes pretty much less than $24,000 in a year. So in terms of some statistics for the program, this is a cumulative count of all of our virtual supermarket customers. So we have about 275 customers who have used the program, and this doesn't count our new public housing sites that recently opened because they just opened. And so we're not presenting on that data. And as you see, it really, I mean, it's cumulative, so it's going to go up. But we've definitely had a much larger jump since having it at our community-based model and sites. And these are some statistics for our senior buildings here. At both of our senior buildings, there are about 100 residents who live in these buildings, and about 30%, over 30% of the residents who live in these buildings use the program. And we find that pretty successful, that a good chunk of the people who live there use the program. And what we really like is we have very high return rates. And so these are people who have at least used the program one more time, you know, 66% and 80%. We feel for a community-based program, that's really great for people coming back. And our number of orders, you know, this is still a small program. It's still a pilot. We're still evolving. We have about 1,400 orders that have been put in. And as you see, it's definitely jumped up dramatically. You know, our first year we had about 350 orders. You know, our second year we had about 550 orders. But in the last 6 months, we've had it already over 500 orders. And so that jump is already where we were over a full year last year. And then in terms of, is this worth it for the grocer, right? Like, is this worth it? Our grocer is not losing any money. I will tell you that. You know, we pay him that reduced delivery fee, and that reduced delivery fee is not necessarily for that 1 hour window of driving the groceries, because that's not a big deal. It's actually, the reason we still pay them this reduced delivery fee for a little while is has to do with, it takes manpower and time to shop all of these grocery orders. You know, at San Antonio's, it's Bev and Cindy. They're the home shoppers. They're going to put together your order. And what's nice about the program is it's all bagged out, ready to go. So it's not, you know, some other models where it's all there and then everyone has to divide it. You know, if I ordered groceries, it'd say Laura, and it'd all be bagged out, ready to go with my receipt in there. And something I didn't mention before, so EBT can only be used for food, right? But there are other needs that people have, like toilet paper and paper towels and dish detergent. San Antonio's will run two separate receipts so that people can still make this their one-stop shopping experience. And as you see over, you know, the little 2.5 years of the program, over $50,000 worth of groceries have been purchased. And that's all money that San Antonio's, most of our customers didn't shop at San Antonio's. So that's all new market for the grocery store that they wouldn't have been receiving otherwise. And then this is a study that our intern Leah has been working on. So we're trying to figure out with our neighborhood food advocates, those that are running the grocery store, how does this impact their community? How do they view this as impacting? And so we asked if, you know, they've been healthier since the virtual supermarket's been coming. And she said, I see people ordering more berries, more grains, stuff like that, due to because they can get it. And so this is their perception. This is a qualitative study. And hopefully next year at APHA, we'll present a lot more about the findings of this, as well as it's allowed them to get to know their neighbors. And that in very poor, low-end communities is a really added benefit that we were not intending. People have become friends. They now know their neighbors. I had one guy who told me, I didn't know anyone in my building, and now I would call them friends. And to me, that's, you know, another public health benefit. So in terms of our lessons learned, how to be able to accept EBT through having people pay when they pick up, you know, changing our model and being okay with that libraries weren't necessarily the best model for this program, as well as the community-based approach. My staff is myself, one other community organizer, and someone who works about 10 hours a week, and we have 7 sites. And so we needed to figure out how we can expand the program without needing to expand the staff. And our future directions are really to scale up into many additional public housing sites in Baltimore City and senior buildings. We're really hoping to create a guide for how to help you and other cities set up a virtual supermarket, as well as we've given a baseline and now we're doing our follow-up evaluation, so true evaluation data of this program. Thank you. I'll take questions.
But for instance, I'm a family doctor in the Bronx, and most of my patients are low income, and many of them, especially the older patients, are challenged accessing the internet or getting to a computer.
Yep.
And so you talked about going into the senior centers and into low income housing development. Is there any mechanism for reaching independent living seniors or low income residents who might not have access to
Yeah, so at all of our sites, we train community members who live there to have hours set up. So at our senior buildings, they have a 3-hour, 4-hour block that they can come, they sit down. It's also very social for our seniors. They can come down, they sit, and one of their fellow residents, we have found a tech-savvy senior in every one of our senior buildings, can come and sit down and help their fellow residents place orders. We leave it up to the sites to determine whether or not they want to have outside residents come in. And that just their own personal safety and preference. So 2 of our senior buildings have said we only want people who live there. We're planning on opening in another senior building, and they say anyone in the community who wants to come in here and use this can do that. And so it really, we leave it up to the building, but technology is a huge barrier, and that's why we have, you can order from any computer, but we also have hours set up for people to come in who can't access it on their own to help them.
Are you tracking the purchases and model it against a healthy food plan to say, okay, we actually have this UCO was being ordered, and we were putting the categories of a gradient of healthiness. And so can you actually track families if they are purchasing the purchasing are more like a healthy food plan?
Yeah, so that's something we're looking into doing. Again, with having an RB, we don't want to necessarily, we would have to go through another RB to do that. So because we're tracking people's personal behaviors, there is some privacy that people should maintain in what they want to buy and how they like to buy. But on our baseline survey, we do ask questions about foods they purchase, how often, and we do have for all of our customers, most of them, what they buy. But whether or not analyzing it to really produce that is kind of where we're looking for next. Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, everyone pays when they pick up, and that really is for the EBT. My understanding is there's actually 26 federal policy barriers in the way of allowing online food ordering, but I have also been told they're looking to do pilots in the future for online food ordering, so we're hoping we could be a pilot site. But, yeah, everyone pays up. In the 1,400 orders, there have been less than a dozen people not pick up their order, and of those dozen, less than half of them, so 6 people, just didn't show up at all. There have been a few seniors, they didn't wake up, they slept through us calling them to be like, hey, your food's here. We had a woman who lived in transitional housing, for example, and she, when she left her transitional house, once you leave, you can't go back in a lot of times until 5 o'clock. She left her EBT card in her other purse, so she wasn't able to pay for the groceries, so she called us and was like, I can't pick up my groceries. So it really isn't a problem at all. So I think we have time for one more question, but I'll be here for after for other questions. Sir?
I'm just wondering about the quality of food versus being delivered versus the seniors and others who want to come like to the store and pick it up. So could you evaluate their perception of quality?
Yeah, so far all of our customers are very happy with the quality of San Antonio's food. Santoni's is an independent local grocer. One of the reasons we also work with them is they're a wonderful grocer. I buy my groceries from there many weeks. And so they're really good quality food, and their prices are right in the middle of Baltimore in terms of they're not as cheap as a Save-A-Lot, but they're not as expensive for where we are as a Giant or a Safeway. So they're right in the middle. The quality of food is good. The women who pick the groceries are the sweetest women, and they'll tell you, I pick it like I'm picking it for my own family. So they really spend the time to make sure it's good. And if something comes and the customer doesn't like it, they take it off the receipt right then. So they're not locked to it. So this is, I think, all the time I have for questions now. And I'll be here at the end to answer any more.